A frog goes into a bank and approaches the teller. He can see from her nameplate that her name is Patricia Whack. So he says, "Miss Whack, my name is Kermit Yager, and I'd like to take out a loan." Patricia looks down her nose at Kermit and asks how much he wants to borrow. He says $10,000. She explains that $10,000 is a substantial amount of money and asks if he has anything he can use as collateral. Kermit says, "Sure, I have this," and produces a tiny pink porcelain elephant. Rolling her eyes, Patricia explains that she'll have to consult with the manager and disappears into a back office. She finds the manager and says, "There's a frog out there who wants to borrow $10,000. He wants to use this as collateral," and she holds up the tiny pink elephant and asks, "What the heck is this?" The bank manager peeks out the door, nods, then says, "It's a knick-knack, Paddywhack. Give the frog a loan." His old man's a rolling stone. There's a moral to this not exactly biblical quality parable. Watch what you assume. There may be more at play than you realize. I've been wondering how many of my assumptions, which I prefer to call informed beliefs, end up sabotaging my intentions. Here's what I mean. I'm trying to find a tolerable way forward, sharing a country and a planet with millions of people out there motivated by their contempt for my beliefs, energized by their very hatred of my embrace of social changes, changes reflecting values I think most of us here embrace. Looking at things one way, you could say we live in a woke versus anti-woke world, where the more some of us support what we call social progress, the more that progress kindles not just resistance, but a looming MAGA threat against stability itself. In this world where polarized views lead to discord, animosity, and who knows what else, how can we cultivate empathy, understanding, and the willingness to engage with perspectives that differ radically and dangerously from our own? Let me try to be clear about some terms here. As I understand it, the term woke has emerged to signify an embrace of social justice and equity, particularly regarding race, gender, identity, sexuality, reproduction, and other arenas in which inequity and prejudice have long oppressed women and minorities, but extended now into once less conflicted components of society like education, history, democracy, even truth itself. While awakening to overdue liberation is rooted in what most of us believe are noble intentions of promoting dignity and justice for the many people denied that consideration, that awakening writ large has also become a source of contention for those who feel alienated or disenfranchised by what they perceive as an aggressive, elitist, overreaching social agenda. Now, it's important to state unequivocally that effective opposition to anti-woke sentiments doesn't require us to abandon our convictions. Rather, it calls for the challenging task of empathy, sensitivity to the concerns, fears, and frustrations of those who disagree with and ridicule us, mirroring, I'm afraid, how we often disagree with and sometimes ridicule them. Empathy expects us to ramp up our curiosity, seeking to understand the roots of anti-wokers' discontent and the reasons behind their opposition to what they perceive as the offense of wokeness. And even more challenging, doing that without coming across as condescending. Finding that higher ground is a bit like participating in an intervention with an addict. If you're going to do that, you have to find a way to subdue any judgmental feelings about that person you may have, as well as other obstacles to getting through. Obstacles like anger and resentment. You not only need to show affection and concern, you have to sincerely feel them. The pulse of anti-wokeism beats with feelings of rage, resentment, fear of change, and a sense of marginalization. It's fueled by a perceived sense of being left behind or threatened in a rapidly changing world where some traditional values, identities, lifestyles, and beliefs are being uprooted. Speed is one key area of contention. While many of us are frustrated by how slowly long-desired changes are evolving, many others are equally upset by how fast the landscape seems to have been reconfigured. The ground under their feet feels as unsteady as the ground during an earthquake. We see things so differently that we've lost much of the trust we need to exist in some semblance of peace. I think the divisiveness that characterizes who we are as a collective people invites self-reflection and humility. From all sides, ideally, but we can really only start with ourselves. It's hard not to dismiss a lot of rhetoric out there as ignorant or misguided. But finding common ground asks us to question our own biases and blind spots. Sometimes we can find ourselves so enamored of our self-identified enlightenment that we ignore how threatening and self-righteous we appear to others. By acknowledging our own limitations, we can more readily approach conversations with empathy, respect, and a genuine willingness to learn from people we may initially characterize as deplorable. There's a part of me inclined to say tough potatoes. It's actually not potatoes, but to any disquiet my beliefs, our beliefs, have aroused in others, but I do well to reflect on the consequences of my disdain, to wonder if my enmity isn't in fact working against itself by fueling the very people I oppose. I don't think that's an easy notion to live with, that my belief in something I'm so sure is right somehow ends up empowering forces out there that strike me as not only erroneous, but dangerous, vile, even evil. It brings to mind the great American prophet, Walt Kelly, whose cartoon opossum, Pogo, paraded a disturbing but profound truth in a famous panel that many of you might recall. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Years ago, I put a printout of that caution right here on my binder as a reminder to keep myself humble, albeit with limited success. In our efforts to bridge the divide between woke and anti-woke perspectives, how do we find a way forward that overcomes ideological differences? Can we honestly accept that beneath the surface, all of us, even those others, yearn for dignity, respect, and a sense of belonging in a world that's so divided and unsteady? If we could somehow find the way to engage with them in conversations grounded in mutual respect and empathy, could we cultivate a sense of unity in an environment that so divides us? Could we foster a spirit of understanding and cooperation? Maybe that's doable in the abstract, but as I see what I see and hear what I hear, I find it daunting to imagine exactly how we might get there. There's not just the problem of them, there's the problem of me, of us, at least some of us. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I find there's an impatient voice, an angry and scornful voice within me, tempting me to fall short of my ideals. I mean, there are people and things to hate out there, aren't there? We can't walk around all the time sympathetic to what so blatantly appear to be absurdity and unmitigated mean-spiritedness, can we? I'm pretty sure some of you are way ahead of me in embodying a generosity of spirit. But I still suspect you know what I'm talking about if I wonder about the limits of generosity's hold on us. There's a cost attached to seeing through another's eyes. To a greater or lesser extent, we all wrestle with that enemy who is us. Opposing but sympathizing with anti-woke sentiments doesn't mean compromising our commitment to justice, equity, and social progress. Rather, it invites us to approach those we differ with in a spirit of compassion, humility, and a genuine desire to build connections with them. It challenges us to confront the complexities and nuances of social issues without resorting to blanket judgments or condemnations. As we grapple with the tensions and contradictions inherent in opposing but sympathizing with and understanding anti-woke sentiments, where do we take not only the impression that anti-wokers are mean, stupid, and greedy, but also any distress we may have about our own shortcomings? Where? Well, I doubt most of us would be here if we didn't realize how much we need each other. How much we need our beloved community to help us find our way through such a conflicted and troubled world. I was thinking of the wonderful Rodgers and Hammerstein song in South Pacific, the one that asserts, "You have to be carefully taught to be a bigot, to hate, to oppress your fellow travelers on this fragile planet we all share." I was also thinking that in a world where that insidious teaching does run rampant, there's all the more reason to turn to other teachings, teachings of love, justice, and understanding that guide us along our journey of faith. No matter how grounded we may believe we are, we need periodic reminders that true wisdom and enlightenment come not from division and discord, but from unity and harmony. So, what are your hopes here? Mine have something to do with finding strength in our conflicted but nevertheless shared humanity, with finding courage in our willingness to engage with difficult conversations, and with finding meaning in our ability to transcend differences and build a more inclusive and compassionate world where even those holding seemingly awful viewpoints aren't left feeling disparaged and unheard. Perhaps our calling is to carry forth the values of empathy into our communities, striving to be beacons of light and agents of reconciliation in a world so in need of healing and understanding. To grow in a spirit of empathy, understanding, and solidarity, I'll say it again, we don't need to betray ourselves and abandon our embrace of love and justice. But I believe we'd do well at the same time not to lose sight of all the pitfalls of opposing anti-woke sentiments without understanding them better, and to engage those we oppose with humility, grace, and a steadfast commitment to building a better tomorrow for everybody, even them.